From Diamond Pharmacy Services, this is Podcast RX, a monthly show that takes you behind the counter of the nation's largest correctional pharmacy provider. We bring you conversations with pharmacists, nurses, managers, and other Diamond staff about the topics and issues we see in corrections, long-term care, and community health settings. Our chats aren't limited to purely pharmacy topics, and they aren't strictly clinical either. So if you're a healthcare provider or just enjoy healthcare podcasts, we think you'll enjoy this show. On this episode, it's part two of our roundtable discussion with the clinical pharmacists of Optics, Diamond's Office of Pharmacy Therapeutics and Integrated Clinical Services. On this side of the discussion, we get a bit personal to learn why the Optics team chose careers in clinical pharmacy and what Optics has done for their professional growth so far. And then we talk about the future of Optics and how the group plans to expand their clinical services and their reach overall. This is Podcast RX, and I'm Adam Campbell. I want to welcome you back to Podcast RX here. I'm with the Optics team, and I wanted to change the gears of the conversation, get away from the services that you provide, and talk a little bit more about the pharmacist angle of this. So you're all board-certified pharmacists with impressive credentials and interesting backgrounds. So I just want to ask if you could tell me what made you decide to pursue clinical pharmacy as your healthcare calling? What led you to this point?
Well, I guess I can start. I mean, I initially started a pharmacy, again, many years ago when it was almost, you know, you worked in a retail environment, you worked in a hospital environment, and you kind of had to make a choice. I did, at that point, value the many years of experience and training that you were going to receive in pharmacy school, and I always thought that I could give back more and obviously help patients more than just, and I don't want to demean the retail element necessarily, but when you're just filling prescriptions, you can only affect one aspect of that care. And at that point, we went on further in school and got a graduate level degree, maybe did a residency training, even got board certification. You now have the abilities and the training to affect care differently. And I think that's always something I wanted to do. I just wasn't happy doing the traditional pharmacy, if you will. So that's one of the reasons why I moved in that direction.
Yeah.
And I can kind of piggyback off of that, Steve, because I actually had a good bit of retail experience. Whenever I first got out of school, I worked as a technician, worked as a pharmacy intern, you know, in retail, and I worked as a retail pharmacist for some time. And it was great. It's great working with people directly. You get to answer their everyday questions right in, you know, in the aisle, the cough and cold aisle. However, you are somewhat limited in terms of what you can affect in their medication or their overall health. And it to become a clinical pharmacist means you get to play a little bit further upstream. And we here, what we do is we're able to affect change higher upstream in their medication, and we can help either make medication recommendations or changes to their medication. Whereas in the retail setting, you can make a call to the doctor's office, but the way things are nowadays, you know, you're a lot more time, you know, restricted, and there's not as much ability to make that type of change. So really, for me, that's why I got into clinical pharmacy.
Excellent.
I think for me, the reason why I choose a clinical pharmacist path was because during rotations, I'm just seeing the different aspect of pharmacy. Like I work as an intern in a community setting, and having the patients come in, the patient population was mostly like the older patients, and you know they talk slow. It's like you want to take care of them, but they want to tell you everything about your kids and everything. It's like you're trying to get to your main problem, but there's not a lot of time, and you have so many other people waiting for you, you know, to take care of their own issues as well. So I like the ambulatory care aspect of it, where you can sit down with a patient and, you know, listen to them. You know, it's like a holistic care. It's not just out the door like, okay, yeah, next, you know. So it's just being able to change patients' lives. I don't want to say change their life, but having a patient come in like with diabetes, having your A1C be 13 when they come in, and then leaving you when it's like 6 is very rewarding. It's stressful, but it's also very rewarding as well. So just sure. Being able to like use the knowledge that you have and everything that you learn in school and learn during practice to, you know, empower patients to be able to take control of their life and your disease state. So that's why I choose clinical.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think the most recurring theme and symbol we've been using has been the silo and everything like that. And I think one of the easiest things to fall into as a pharmacist or a clinical pharmacist early in your training is to treat every disease state like a silo, every organ group like a silo. And like, there's a lot of different things that, you know, that you learn throughout schooling and residency that really help develop who you are and how you treat your patients. So, for example, when I first started out, and I'm sure all of us, we were only assigned like one patient.
Mm-hmm.
And then we researched them in and out, and then we would be able to replicate that and get 5 patients and 10 patients. And, you know, there's so many different things. There's some agents where it's good for diabetes, yes, but also if your kidneys aren't doing too well, they may accumulate and cause, you know, low blood sugar. So that's something we need to be mindful of, because there's a solution to that. You can choose this agent versus that agent. High A1C would lead to, clinically speaking, these types of events. So our aggressive nature in trying to lower the A1C and trying to get patients vaccinated for certain things to prevent them from what they're probably going to, you know, either get or experience, you know, that has been really rewarding. So, you know, the more you develop your clinical skills and your clinical fluency and treatment guideline fluency, the more rewarding it is in terms of just packaging up the patient every single time as just one holistic picture and just being able to treat everything just as one whole singular patient versus just this disease state and disregard, you know, this other heart failure diagnosis or this previous, you know, event. So that's what's been really rewarding as a clinical pharmacist.
Yeah.
And then whenever I got out, I was just trying to get a job. I'm just like, and I didn't know what this would be coming to Diamond too. So like when I started at Diamond, like there wasn't really a clinical pharmacy initiative per se here, outside of just like individual pharmacists doing their daily tasks. Building out clinical pharmacy here and making it kind of like fit the mold of what you see outside of, in like a hospital or outpatient setting, is like really what I wanted to see, because I saw like what my friends were doing,
mm-hmm.
as pharmacists, and I just wanted to kind of get to that and use my mind more and make those effective patient changes as much as humanly possible. I know it's difficult because we're virtual for most of what we do, but we have seen those instances where we do change. You can see the patient's life being
mm-hmm.
changed, because they're no longer reporting that, hey, I can't breathe all the time, or like, I don't have to get my foot amputated now because I'm like controlling
right.
my diabetes.
Yeah.
So like those do really, like whenever you see that happen, it makes you feel good
yeah.
as a pharmacist. And I think that's kind of like what pharmacy is moving towards more
mm-hmm.
from a dispensing role, is to like, let's use our brains, figure out how we can affect patient
right.
outcomes. So.
Well, Chris, something you said to me once in a separate project, you said that being part of Optics allowed you to, quote, practice at the top of your pharmacist license. So when you were all starting out, and you already spoke to this, but is Optics like the culmination of what you hope to see yourself doing with your pharmacy training? And now here it is. Would you say that's fair?
I'll start in the fact that I can, one, say that I didn't expect to be doing anything like this.
Okay.
But at the same time, I also see, personally speaking, this as a culmination of my experience, because I've had a lot of different experiences along the way that I see reflected in what we do here. And I say I didn't expect to be doing what we do here, because, like Zane said, you built this. So it's not exactly like what you get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very different entity here. And we wear so many different hats in our day-to-day job. So I couldn't see myself doing this because I didn't see it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing this because we have so many different responsibilities. And for one example is, I had experience working in the insurance arena doing prior authorizations and stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that here. In a weird sense of the word,
yeah.
for correctional facilities, doing formulary management and formulary review and stuff. So it's even oddball stuff like that, you know, it's hard to see yourself doing one day
mm-hmm.
as part of an overall clinical suite, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great.
And I would say what we're doing now, I mean, it's great, but we're never done. like sure. We'll continue to add on to this. Like it's, yeah. I mean, it's just a start to what, now that we've identified and we're promoting and we're pushing clinical pharmacy services out, like this is just the beginning
yeah.
of where it's going to be.
Well, that's a question I had a couple away from the next one, but I'll ask it now, is that, yeah, this is impressive what you offer already and how you've built it out. So what's the vision going forward then?
We're going to identify, I think we're going to continue to identify what our partners struggle with. They're not, right now, a lot of them don't come or don't know how to verbalize what the issues are that they're dealing with. Whenever they're more comfortable and they can see how clinical pharmacy can help them, or we identify a way to help them, I think we'll fill that need. Mm-hmm. That's always what we do. We always find what is the issue and how can we solve that. And I think that's going to continue. So I do believe it's going to be a lot more patient care focused,
mm-hmm.
Working more with physicians on site, maybe even doing direct patient education with the patient virtually, mm-hmm. or even on site potentially someday. Like I do believe these services are needed and we can implement them.
Yeah. This is a general curious question. Most of what you do is virtual then. Mm-hmm. Have any of you been on site at all in the time with the Drug Info Center and now Optics?
Not as an observer only,
okay.
to watch process,
I see.
Process go through. So I'd be on site and I see like, okay, what does the physician do whenever mm-hmm. he walks in, actually sees what the patient, we were talking about that today. Like, do they just go to the cell and talk to the patient, or do they actually mm-hmm. pull them out? They go somewhere and they're examined. So like just going and seeing the whole process in play. Cause that's what's different too. Is like, this isn't a hospital where the patient's just sitting in the bed
right.
all the time. Like there's a security aspect to it that we have mm-hmm. to be cognizant of whenever we're doing our recommendations. That's kind of unique to us.
Yeah.
Like not a lot of other people have to think about that whenever they're working, doing their clinical pharmacy life. Like
mm-hmm.
we have to think about how does our decision affect them from a safety standpoint too. So it is, but not as in a clinical role we haven't been.
Okay.
Where I haven't been.
Right. But there is part of the vision is eventually doing a little more of that.
I think it fills a need within the facilities.
Sure. With all the different skills that you all bring as pharmacists, what would you say when you collect you all together, what's the strongest feature overall of Optics for the partners and just in general?
I would probably say the fact that we are nimble. So we as a department, we're, you know, there's five of us. And of course, if you, you know, you include like Matt Risco and everything like that, and those that help us with our initiatives, we are still a small group, which allows us to be flexible and pivot on a dime. So if we identify needs of our, you know, of our, you know, partners, you know, we can make those changes relatively quickly and we can
yeah.
implement those relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll also add my piece. I think the biggest thing that we add to our providers, our partners, et cetera, we instill confidence. When they come to us with a problem or any kind of issue or anything, they know that not only is it me as a singular being, I can also run to our resident expert in biologics or heart failure, cardiology, et cetera. Like, I brainstorm with the rest of the team whenever I'm lost and have a little bit of an issue, and I know that we can always bring the best answer to the table and just instill confidence that yes, this is the best decision that you're making for this patient or your institution. So, yeah, that's been something that I've noticed lately.
I think just to add to what Henry said about bringing the question to the team and coming up with one solution is something that I noticed when I first came here. Like, the teamwork is wonderful. It's not something that you see in a lot of different places. Most of the time, it's very competitive and everyone wants to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have one goal in mind. You know right away that they don't work well as a team. But here, everyone is very friendly. They share information, you know, readily, and they're always there to help you and give you meaningful feedback, which is really great. And with all of that, you know, just opening up to the team and having like open conversation and open communication, you can come up with one solution. So your customers know that you are together. You know, the response that you're sending is not just one person. They're not going to be like, if Steve sends a response, like, oh, let me wait and see what Zane says. Maybe he's going to have something better. You know, it's just like, no, exactly. I don't really like his answer. Let me wait for this person. It's like one person is speaking for the team. If one person says something, you know, everyone else agrees. Everyone else is supporting that. So I feel that I'm very supported, and I feel like everyone in the team has my back. I mean, we all have one goal in mind, which is providing the best care for our customers and the patients that we take care of.
You'll always get an optics answer.
Yep.
Yeah.
One team, one goal.
Get it, one team, one goal. Nimble, cohesive. Like it.
I think another big thing is like we're able to advocate for our patients too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it gets, whenever you're at the 500,000 foot level and you're looking down, like we're down at the bottom. We're looking up instead. Mm-hmm. So we're able to sit there and say, but we can see it both ways because we deal with it both ways. So we're able to, we're a nice, healthy medium with that where we're able to say like, okay, yes, this might be expensive, but it is cost effective when we look in the long term for our patient. And there, a lot of people are able to identify like we're coming from a place, a good place whenever we're providing recommendations.
Yeah.
And that's much more accepting because we have a lot of that support. We have a lot of that confidence whenever we're going in and we're able to work as we've already talked it out as a team, and this is where we're going. If we're giving you an answer, this is kind of what we came through at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, so, that's like one of my favorite things is when we can justify the price of a better treatment for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like historically they haven't always had the most advocacy in their corner.
Yeah.
So it's a good feeling when you can kind of bring better treatment.
Yeah. Even the doctors are like love it too, because as soon as we're able to justify it, they're like, oh, that's a great reason for doing that.
That's all they need. Yeah. They just need the clinical justification. And if we're there saying, look, we did the research, here you go.
Right.
They're cool with that.
It's awesome. That further builds the trust. You know, they know that the five clinical heads were together on this decision, and it's the best that they can offer for sure.
Yeah,
it's really great. I wanted to ask about the sort of official coming out party for optics. That happened at the NCCHC fall conference in Chicago back about a month ago. Henry, Steve, Zane, you're all involved in presentations that day. Obviously, the conferences are nothing new for most of you. Nancy, I'm not sure if you've presented prior to coming to Diamond, if you've done anything like that.
At mid-year, during residency.
Okay, okay. But is optics, are you planning to expand that, the conference presentations are concerned? I know that's something as a Drug Info Center you did a long time, but now that you're optics and now that you have all these new patient care concerns, is that something you plan to expand in getting outside of just the corrections area?
I mean, we already do participate in long-term care already.
That's true.
So we do like all of the Diamond conferences. We make up a lot of the presenters for those. So that's something we participate in. And we even participate in like the PA and Ohio conferences as well. So we've already expanded into that. The thing is they want us to present and participate at these conferences too. So I believe we will be expanding. I know they want us at like the ACA conference as well. Mm-hmm. So likely that will be putting in proposals to present at those conferences. Additionally, outside, I could see us definitely presenting at pharmacy conferences as well.
Like,
it's not the realm of possibility. We're talking about new service models that can be applied. It's just a unique setting that we're in. So just talking about like our virtual pharmacist program is beneficial to the career of pharmacy. So getting that out there, I think, would definitely be something we talk about.
Yeah.
I think numerically, we should be getting more involvement, not just in long-term care, but corrections in general. But the point I was going to make is, you know, people do want us to do more of these services and presentations because I think they're starting to see a value in that. But I think one of the issues that we're going to be able to say yes to that moving forward would be the fact that we are a team. So for example, if one or two of us do go to said conference, like we were able to do for the NCC meeting, this past fall, that means that others can hold down the fort.
Correct.
Yes.
So
that's the big thing.
Again, we have this team approach, so that I do think the answer to that would be ultimately yes, and should be yes, because it's not like we're going to hinder our other services locally, so we can keep things going here and still be able to provide that education.
Yeah, I feel like we're in a good position now where we can support our current services, even implement more services, absolutely, and we have the team that can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now, five's the good number.
Yeah.
No plans to bring on additional at the time? Or
Not at this time.
No.
But you never know.
You never
just know. Like a diamond. Always a diamond. You never know what's going to happen.
All it takes is one big statement.
All it takes is one big contract to do something, and then we're like, oh, man, now we got to.
Yeah, right. Five's a good number, though. It's like, you know, it's like you guys are a team of, like, pharmacy superheroes.
There we go. You know, really. Captain Planet.
Wow. I think it's more of takes me back. The Avengers. Yeah.
Usually t-shirts.
Yeah. But that is that, you know, in all seriousness, though, just that, you know, the real team approach, and the fact you've been able to speak more to that, and this is just how unified you are, I think is something really special that Diamond offers, that cohesive, unified pharmacy, you know, knowledge and experience. And it's really neat what you do. I just to finish up here, I did want to ask for anyone who isn't sure, any partners of ours, any and just in general that want to get started with optics, want to take advantage of all these things that you talk with me about today, how do they start?
So they can either reach out to us directly at the optics department, which our email is just optics, optics@diamondpharmacy.com. Or they can contact their account pharmacist. They definitely can just get in touch with us and kind of see what services you want to offer or get involved with, or see what kind of services we already have and how you can implement them best within your facility or group.
Excellent. Well, I do want to thank you all so much for joining us today and talking all about optics and what you do. It's been a really illuminating conversation and very enjoyable. So let's do another roundtable sometime with a maybe more focused topic, if you're all good. Chris is always down. I mean, any podcast listeners have heard Chris's voice on here many times. They'll hear Henry's and Steve. Thank you for getting on a podcast finally.
It was good. Steve's old dog.
Thank you, Nancy. Hope you'll join us as well.
Hopefully.
All right. Dane Gray, Stephen Ford, Nancy Chia, Chris Bender, Henry So. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
This podcast features conversations with healthcare professionals. Their statements and opinions discussed herein are for informational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered professional medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for the advice of an appropriately qualified and licensed healthcare professional. Therefore, listeners must not rely on the statements made herein.
Podcast RX is a production of Diamond Pharmacy Services, the nation's largest correctional pharmacy provider. Catch our new episodes on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate the show and leave us a review. And if you have a topic you'd like to hear about on the show, or you'd like to share your thoughts on an episode, you can email us at podcastrx@diamondpharmacy.com.